This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Olu George Ministries presents Focus on Freedom Podcast. We're covering the face of the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. Welcome to an encounter with timeless, transcendent, and triumphant truth. Here's your brother, friend, and messenger, Olu M. George.
We have been teaching from my book titled Stressless, Lethal Answers for the Nervous Soul. It is important for me to remind you that this book was primarily motivated to deal with the issue of fear and terror that came upon the planet in the year 2020. Literally, the whole planet went crazy over a flu virus. Literally. And even though this book had been written decades ago, I had to rewrite and repackage. So we've dealt very extensively on fear, the nature of fear, the fact that fear is a spirit, and how to deal with fear, how to conquer it, how to live perpetually above it. But the subject of the book goes beyond fear. It deals with everything that robs people of the peace of God that passes all understanding, the peace that God promised by the mouth of Jesus when he said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The same peace that was re-emphasized by the Apostle Paul when he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding." The peace of God that passes all understanding. So though fear is a very important component of this life that we have tagged, the stressless life, it's important for us to look at other things. And today, also teaching from the book, I want to teach on the subject of guilt and inferiority. Now, let's take a text from John, the epistle to John, the first epistle, chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, "For if," notice the word if our heart condemns us. So sometimes our heart condemns us. Other times our hearts excuse or justify us. Now, if our heart condemns us, sometimes it's because we're guilty. But sometimes our heart condemns us for other reasons that I will show you shortly. Now, look at that verse again. "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows things that our hearts do not know. So sometimes our heart condemns us unjustly. And this is the subject of this chapter and this episode. Now let's see how some other translations put it. Let's look at the Passion Translation. "Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience, and he knows everything there is to know about us." God has all the relevant information to determine guilt or innocence. Our hearts sometimes cannot tell the difference. I have a quote from Henry Ward Beecher. In the opening chapter of the book, "God pardons like a mother who kisses the offense into everlasting forgiveness." So, the guilt is a strategic and potent weapon in the hands of the enemy to steal the peace of God's children, to rob them of confidence, and to immobilize them for moving into the fullness of what God has called them to do, for moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. He uses guilt to make total nonsense out of the grace of God, the matchless grace of God. He blocks access to the flow of the bottomless mercy of God. You see, when the heart is not trained and schooled in the Word of God and in the ways of the Spirit, Satan uses guilt to frustrate the grace of God. He causes the grace of God to be received in vain. Let me make something very clear. Our Father God is holy. He is too holy to behold iniquity. He hates sin with a passion because sin is an affront, is a personal affront to the Almighty God. So God really does not forgive sins. He cannot. His holiness forbids him. His extreme holiness, his blazing holiness will not allow him to justify sin, to ignore sin, or to pardon sin. You see, what God does is he forgives the sinner. He doesn't forgive sin, but he forgives the sinner. Why? Because his love demands it. His grace commands it. His compassion compels it. And his mercy conceives it. Now, let me say that again. He cannot forgive sin because of his holiness, but he must forgive the sinner when the sinner comes with a repentant heart. When the sinner truly acknowledges his sin and embraces the only solution, the speakings of the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, he must forgive, no matter how many times. Remember when Peter asked the Lord Yeshua Jesus, how many times must my brother offend me and I must forgive? Seven times? And Jesus laughed. He responded, possibly 70 times seven. So how many times will a human offend the holy God in a day? And God will forgive as long as the man turns in repentance. Well, I will say maybe after 70 times 70, you can start to imagine whether God will even refuse to forgive. And now, don't forget, this is just in one day. You see, the problem is, even after God has truly forgiven, many still suffer needlessly with guilt in the hands of Satan. This is a very, very big deal. For example, scientists and psychologists and psychiatrists have told us at the root of much of the mental illness going on in our world today is the stronghold of guilt. I'll give you another example. There is an epidemic in the world of anti-racism movement, anti-slavery movement across the earth. Now, the only problem with the anti-racism activism going on in the world today is that it's going on only in selected places and only among selected people. I'll give you an example. The villain in the anti-racism, anti-slavery movement of today, the villain is the white, Christian, heterosexual, mostly male. And who is the victim? The blacks, black humans. And now, in recent times, we have co-opted people of color, a term which means black, brown, and non-white people of the world. Now, the problem with this is that slavery is not unique to a particular race. Every race on earth practiced slavery before Christianity, during Christianity, after Christianity. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Islamic wars that have taken place on earth have been on the issue of slavery, has been in the defense of slavery. So how is this ungodly activism sustained? It is sustained through white guilt. White people are made to feel guilty for sins of their ancestors, a sin that is not unique to the white race, a sin that is common to the blacks, to the Jews, to the Arabs, to the Persians, to the Chinese, to the Asians in general, to India, a sin that has been practiced for eons. Now, the Christian white heterosexual male is largely held responsible for sins that were practiced, that was practiced by Islam, and is still being practiced in at least 5 or 6 Islamic countries today. That is the power of guilt. In the world today, one of the worst things you can call a white person is racist, or racist. And people literally will keep quiet. They will do anything to avoid being labeled racist, even if the labeling is unjustified. This is the power of guilt. It is a stronghold. It rules people's lives. It ruins people's lives and makes them vulnerable to be manipulated, to be controlled, and to be made to do things which are not convenient. The reason why I despise guilt, especially, is because I found in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit never makes us feel guilty. The Holy Spirit never condemns people. As a matter of fact, Bible says in John chapter 3, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will convict the world of sin, not condemn the world, convict. Many, many pastors and preachers have stayed completely away from the subjects of sin, of iniquity, of transgression and repentance because they don't want to condemn people. Well, that is not our ministry. But people will not be convicted of their sins if you never preach about sin. So you've played into Satan's hand either way. Holy Spirit convicts. He does not condemn. Why? Because the object of guilt is not really forgiveness. Now let's visit the anti-racism, anti-slavery, anti-apartheid movement. What can a white person do today to be forgiven of racism, of slavery, supposedly from their ancestors? Nothing. No amount of apologies, no amount of activism, no amount of vocal support, no amount of financial support, because the object of guilt is not reconciliation, is not forgiveness, is not restoration. The object of guilt is destruction. It is division. It is manipulation, and it is permanent devaluation of people's lives. That is why the Holy Spirit will never touch it with a 10,000 meter pole. You see, once God has forgiven, he doesn't remember. He doesn't hold the sin against you. But the devil can still make one feel guilty of sins that God has already forgiven. Sins that God will never remember. Sins that God will never hold against you. People can still live under the dark shadow and the dark cloud of guilt, even of sins that have never been committed. For example, people take advantage of you. People feel entitled that you owe them financial support, and you say no. Satan can make you feel guilty about that. You see, guilt makes you feel useless, hopeless, powerless, and evil. Guilt tells the object, you are bad. Holy Spirit doesn't do that. What does it do? Holy Spirit tells the sinner that sin is bad. Not you are bad. Holy Spirit condemns sin in an attempt to convict the sinner. You see, whereas guilt makes you feel hopeless, conviction makes you see a way out. Conviction says, this is wrong. You are better than this. You have received the abundance of grace. You don't have to continue to be a liar. You have received the power to live a holy life. Forgiveness is really crucial. Satan cannot forgive. I remember reading about an atheist who once said, her name was Margarita Lasky. She said, "What I envy about you Christians the most is your forgiveness." Then she added rather sadly, "I have no one to forgive me. There is no forgiveness with Satan. There is no forgiveness in religion. Religion will let you into religion's heaven only if you do more good than evil. The problem is man in his natural state, man in his fallen nature is irredeemably evil. There's no way to redeem him outside of the cross. Good works will not change the basic nature of man. Religion does not offer a total cleansing of the slate, a brand new beginning. Religion only allows God to tolerate you if you do better. Meanwhile, you are incapable of doing better. On the other hand, conviction invites you to come. Come boldly into the throne of grace. I have 3 kids, I have 4 grandkids at this point. I will feel like a failure if my grandkids are not confident to jump into my laps, to hug me, and to demand to come to my home and eat whatever they want and do things that they enjoy. I will feel like a personal failure." You see, Psalm 130, verse 3 to 4, he says, "If you, God, kept records of wrongdoing, who will stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit, and that is why you are worshipped. There is a peace that comes when you know that your sins are forgiven, when you know that your record has been expunged. Satan does not want you to have that peace. In the era of innocence, Adam and Eve fellowshipped with God openly. God came, took walks with them in the evening. They chatted about what they're going to do, and they had great fellowship. But once sin came into the picture, once Satan was granted access into their sphere, suddenly the confidence was gone. And now Satan holds that sin on their head and will never let them forget it. Remember the prodigal son? This guy wasn't lacking in confidence and boldness. This guy was so full of himself, he demanded his inheritance while his father was still alive, and he got it. But after life happened to him, after he squandered everything that God had given him, he lost total confidence in himself. He went back to his father. He offered himself as a slave. The father was not interested in condemnation. The father was all too delighted that he had been convicted, and the conviction had brought him back home where he belonged. You know, it's important to make that distinction. Religion will never forgive you. Satan does not forgive, but God forgives and forgets. You see, and when you have received that forgiveness, you have boldness, you have confidence before God. People have confused the guilt conscience with conscience, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you think about conscience, the genuine, pure conscience that God has given to man as a gift is an internal policeman, an internal warning system. A warning system that tells you what you're about to do is wrong. The way you spoke to your wife is wrong. You need to make amends. What you said to your child is not right. That's a bad example. He convicts you. That is not the same thing as a guilty conscience. Every human knows, once they get to the age of accountability, they know what is right and what is wrong. That is conscience. It is not condemnation. The voice in your head that tells you you are good for nothing, you are a failure, you've committed this sin for the umpteenth time, even though you hate the sin, you hate yourself for sinning, and you are striving for a holy life. That voice is not the voice of your conscience. It is the voice of the enemy, the voice of your adversary. Now, before I go off of the subject of conscience, I need to mention that there is weak conscience. Bible talks about weak conscience in 1 Corinthians. Talks about the eating of meats sacrificed to idols. He says idols are nothing, But if your conscience is weak, Satan uses your weak conscience to come in. So the ability of Satan to condemn a man is because of their weak conscience. What must I do to strengthen my weak conscience? I must immerse myself in the Word of God. The revelation of God feeds my soul, feeds my spirit, and strengthens my conscience. I also need to mention a seared conscience. When the conscience has not been obeyed, when you continually violate your conscience, when you continually go against the conviction of your conscience eventually becomes less sensitive, it becomes dull, and then it can become dead. And when that happens, you don't feel the moving of your spirit. You don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore. It is a very dangerous place to be. It's important to listen to your conscience, not listen to the condemnation of the enemy, but rather listen to your conscience. And finally, I want to mention briefly the conscience of sin, which is sin consciousness. You see, sin consciousness is not holiness. A sin consciousness tells you are a sinner. That is contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. If you have repented of your sin and given your life to Christ, the Bible says you are a new creation in Christ. The Bible says you are the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Not that you have the righteousness of God, you are the righteousness of God. So we have to deal with weak conscience. We must war against a seared conscience, and we must use the Word of God, the truth of the reality of the new creation. We must use it to put to rest the conscience of sin or sin consciousness. A sin consciousness will rob you of confidence towards God. It will rob you of confidence to deal with the enemy. It will rob you of efficiency in spiritual warfare. We don't want any business to do with a conscience of sins. Father God, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Sikenu, I pray for my brother and my sister right now that they will receive such inoculation in their spirit, in their minds of the Word of God, that their conscience will be strong, their conscience will be healthy, and their spirit will be able to decipher when the enemy is taking them on a guilt trip and they will refuse to go. If you are not born again, is the right time, is the best time to give your life to Jesus so you can be set free from guilt. If you have been born again and the enemy has been taking you on guilt trips of sins committed many years ago, sins committed even recently, today receive your freedom from a conscience of sin, from a guilt conscience, and enter into the boldness, the confidence of sonship in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Focus on Freedom Podcast. For more information, please visit olugeorgeministries.global or send a WhatsApp inquiry to +27 81 300 6633. Also, like, subscribe, and share our content on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. See you next time.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.